From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Ah, fantastic stuff. The festive special, yes, delight and rejoice that even though the match might not be going ahead, that's never stopped Rob Nichols in full form being able to actually produce the magic which is going to create so many wonderful things. Of course, Borough Strike Force hampered by conditions. Rob, we're going ahead. The Notts Forest game might be postponed.
The game's off.
But
doesn't hold us back.
Exactly. The podcast is there.
Christmas is not cancelled.
Precisely. No. And we also have Joe Hudson in the studio with us, of course, the anchor person of the Quirky News show. Mm-hmm. Joe, since last we spoke, have you managed to attend any Middlesbrough matches?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not.
And yet you have successfully got your pilot's licence, so you can fly a plane now and you can drive a car successfully.
I can. I have no excuse for not dropping into the stadium.
You see where we're coming from? Exactly. All sorted through, quite clearly and evidently. Anyway, welcome along to the companion podcast to issue 477, the Nottingham Forest podcast, of course. I noticed, actually, Rob, you've put Notts Forest, and I was once informed that people who are genuine Nottingham Forest fans find that quite offensive, actually.
I didn't spot that.
It's a bit like saying, you know, for Arsenal fans, up the, and I don't want to go any further with respect to that. It's sort of the
It's incredible, actually. I've been pulling people up all day and I hadn't noticed that the person who did the cover has naughtily, it's Notts County, of course.
Oh, well.
Nottingham with an
exactly.
M.
This is the crucial thing here.
Yeah.
We'd hate for any of our Forest fans here, one of whom, of course, is seeking your advice for his dissertation, that's Daniel Denman, to actually sort of be offended by...
Well, they'll never see it, will they, because the match is off.
They'll never see it, but they might hear it. Anyway, magical things coming through today. We'll be looking clearly at the players visiting the site of local hospitals, obviously to bring a bit of Christmas cheer to youngsters. We've got some information about Marie Wieczorek, of course, the manager of the successful MFC ladies football team. We've got a fabulous Kadim Hussein poem, an epic.
Christmas epic.
Like The Ghost of Christmas Past, which is going to be performed by Joe Hudson, Rob Nichols and your Australian Alex Levchuk. Plus, of course, heaps of other key things that are going to be cogitated upon and thought about. For instance, it was, for a moment, a magical world. You know, after the fantastic goal by Julia Arca, the penalty, that saw three wonderful points against Cardiff.
Yes.
We then had Scott McDonald, who marched in and put the lads in front, you know, at Doncaster. Season, 4-1, we're thinking, job's done, all sorted through here. 9,000 fans in the ground, lots of Borough voices.
Yes.
Let's progress from there. And then, tragically, it all seemed to go slightly off base, really, didn't it? It didn't quite connect. We had, you know...
Yeah.
A number of sort of issues to the fore, really.
Yeah.
Including, dare I say it, Chris Boyd, perhaps not necessarily on his top four. More kind of the Chris Boyd Scottish international tragedy of a World Cup, Chris Boyd.
Yeah. Mm. He perhaps missed the ball completely, I think it's fair to say.
I was listening to the commentary on BBC Tees, and I think the general line was it was the worst miss they have ever seen.
It was Billy Ashcroft against Orient in about 1980, was it, something like that?
Ashcroft-esque.
That was all over again, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we had... The first half was quite... We obviously started like a train in the absolutely freezing conditions. We were all over them and scored in less than 5 minutes with Scott McDonald. And he thought, yeah, could this be 4-1 like last season? But Doncaster pulled themselves back into the game. They got in our face and made it difficult. But then in the second half... It changed again. It was all Middlesbrough. And it was Middlesbrough pushing on with three substitutions to push forward. It was all positive. First big miss of that half. There'd been other misses. But the two big misses were one by Wieto, who was spotted well onside. He'd run through from the back. And he kind of froze.
He onside? Because there seemed to be a line. The referee had blown up and said it was offside. I thought, well, that's it. It was clearly, you know, Wieto showing his perfect reading of the game there.
It's interesting because it was strange watching the lines. And what was he flagging for? It appeared that the keeper took a goal kick afterwards. Mm. Mm. Maybe he didn't know, though. Wieto didn't know that it was offside or onside. But I don't think it was given. And then coming towards the closing moments of the game, Joe Bennett had been a real threat all half down the left. He danced to the byline, pulled the ball back, hit it quite hard, and it looked like a repeat of the goal that we'd scored at Scunthorpe early in the season. And Boyd almost seemed to look away and missed the ball. And
there was a sense that he felt he'd already put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it a different dimensional thing? Was he actually hopping dimensions once again? He kind of he got that slight confusion, a bit like Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap. He kind of skipped to one side.
It's possible.
Maybe somebody had leapt into his body and possessed him for that moment in time. You know,
I did ask him, it's in the fanzine, I did ask him a question about it. I said, did you stop, at what stage of the night did you actually stop holding your head in your hands?
And he just said,
it happens as a striker, it happens.
Yeah, it wasn't simply a line of you thinking, I know, what's the best Christmas present I can give Leroy Lita? I'll miss this goal.
Yeah.
Just make him feel better about himself.
And then, of course, Jason Steele, the hero.
Yes.
Fantastic save.
Yes.
Match-winning save. Mm-hmm. Match-drawing save.
Absolutely.
Oops, my boy, I'm in tears.
Should have thrown his snood on the ball.
Oh, dear.
It squirmed him.
Yeah. Which has obviously led to the local newspaper, the Evening Gazette, turning around and saying, and I thought, well, this is getting serious now, 11 wins needed. 11 wins to get those 33 points to actually get to mid-50s, which will mean safety.
Yeah. I don't like it when you start talking like that.
Exactly.
It's relegation, isn't it, when you start looking at a relegation issue.
You know, 11 wins now.
I think you just got to look at each game. But Tony Mowbray did say this week at press conference, taking a lead from that we've got to get over that 50-point mark, but basically we've got to win our home games. Yeah.
And we had hoped that would start, of course, Boxing Day
against
Nottingham Forest. And it's not going ahead, despite the undersoil heating. Apparently it's a leaky ground.
Over 30 leaks, apparently.
Dear.
Lots of toilet boxes.
They've signed Scottish players, not Welshmen. It's a crucial thing, see where we're going.
It's a good spot. Maybe they should have had Joe up in the air. You could have spoiled this in advance.
Precisely. Could have connected that whole thing there. So it does mean clearly we've got the likelihood of a bit of a fixture.
Well, actually, I don't know whether I said to you at the start of the season, but if you look at the fixtures that they've got in the winter months, it was asking for trouble. Look at February. Yeah. There's an incredible amount of games in February, and now we've got this snow. There's bound to be other games called off.
Yeah. We certainly have the Nottingham Forest game, the Preston game. In many ways, perhaps it was fortunate for Doncaster, not for Middlesbrough. The Doncaster game actually went ahead at that stage.
Absolutely, but it was a frozen pitch. They had a bit of trouble before the game actually getting the corner flags into the ground.
Home to Preston, home to Scunthorpe, away to Crystal Palace, home to Swansea, and then two aways, Millwall and Burnley. Interesting times, but I'll just see where things go. Moving on from that, the players clearly visiting the hospitals. Anything you'd like to add about that? They're obviously at South Tees or at North Tees as well, doing the usual annual scenario. They haven't got to the stage where the youngsters are saying, I don't know who you are, mate. So there is that sort of sense, you know, when you were sort of working down the whole thing and saying, you know, are you the people that Ramsden's actually sponsor, so can I actually buy you for a gold ring or something?
No, it's obviously a big boost for the kids and as much for the parents, I think, and the staff when they go around every Christmas. And I noticed I was pleased to see that the number one sort of gift with the kids this year was football, so that was quite good, and that they enjoyed them. But you do see it is nice. You go into a ward and there was one little boy and he was just totally out of it completely. And then when the footballer came across, he just sparked up into life. And that little boy, it was amazing. His middle name is Zenden.
There we are. So,
born on the weekend of the Carling Cup final. Fantastic, isn't it? I hope he's better. I hope he's feeling much better now.
Very much so. I mean, we send that not only because Fly Me to the Moon obviously comes from the Southside Studios, not in Lincoln, with Siren FM, but of the studios based in Teesside at the James Cook University Hospital. Indeed. And nicely sort of chilly in our own way. We've got our snoods in our own personal line here, which is fantastic. Still to come, The Ghost of Christmas Past with Kadeem Hussain, read as an epic can only be read by Joe Hudson and Rob Nichols and myself. We'll be talking about some of the other key things that are coming up in the new year as far as Middlesbrough Football Club are concerned. Might get a little mention for the Burton Albion scenario.
Ooh, yeah.
And again, you know, Christmas thoughts and happinesses that we'll work through, so that there's no reason whatsoever where the match might be off, but you can always play the podcast again and again and again and again and again.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Charles Ather of Ather & Co. has important information for anyone injured in an accident at work. Go on, Charles.
Many people don't realise that in law, employers have a huge duty of care. Even if your actions contributed to the accident, you may still be able to claim compensation.
So even if you think you may have been partly to blame...
Yes, talk to us. and we'll be able to advise on whether you have a claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text claim to 81400 now. That's claim to 81400 now. Choose the one you know.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
I'm here with Charles Arthur of personal injury solicitors Arthur & Co., to find out whether it's faster to settle a non-fault accident claim through your insurance company.
There's no way of telling, as every case is different. But what I will say is that settling quickly may not be in your best interest. I wouldn't want to recommend you settle quickly for, say, £2,000, when, if argued properly, a claim may be worth much more.
Well, I know who I'd choose to look after me, Charles. Choose the one. Call Middlesbrough, treble 2575, or text advice to 81400 now.
Blimey to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Quite rightly so, too. And one of those friends today is Joe Hudson. Marie Wieczorek, somebody you probably haven't encountered, Joe, in your following of women's football.
No.
No, exactly. Certainly, I think it's fair to say, Rob, she's up in the same standing as Hope Powell, the England football manager, really.
She has been described by Steve Gibson as a superhero for women's football in this area, and she is phenomenal because she's been involved with Middlesbrough Ladies and as a player, captain, manager. Mm. Just seems to be forever, and she was capped by England, and then she's sort of made it a mission to make Middlesbrough Ladies, if not professional, as close to that as possible. And of course this summer she led them on that trip to North Korea. Mm-hmm. Which was and I think
if you're going to go somewhere, like, why not go to North Korea?
Yeah, well, it was a phenomenal sort of thing, and she was called upon to speak. I think it was over 60 media agencies contacted. Mm. Her from around the world, and in every case she was quite phenomenal in the way that she was talking for the town. And I think this is why the mayor, Ray Mallon, he thought it's long overdue that Marie gets a special award. So yeah, he gave her a special award, and it was at the town hall in front of all the ladies from the team, which was fantastic. And then the next day, Marie and myself showed a delegation of important visitors from Pyongyang, from North Korea, around various parts of Middlesbrough.
Mm. Yeah. Well, compared to North Korea, probably it's nice for the Koreans to have another experience of life, the universe, and various other factors. I won't say who felt they were stepping into a different dimension, because that's the whole thing. As indeed you quote Ray Mallon for saying, sport is hugely important in this town in giving people a focus, keeping them healthy, and keeping them out of trouble. Marie's commitment and enthusiasm have opened up football to countless girls and young women, and has undoubtedly changed many lives for the better. Mm. You could actually say that Marie Wieczorek is very much the Brian Clough of women's football.
Well, yes.
Sitting near Brian Clough was quite an experience, according to the Spider.
That's right.
Seamless link, I felt, really.
Very good.
Yeah, working well. As I say, maybe frosty outside, but he can still put in those slidey tackles with the bright orange ball.
Or bauble.
Fantastic. So, talk to us about this particular thing. An article which has generated such interest, it's actually been requested by the Brian Clough archive people.
Yes. Marcus Allen, who is putting together a book of memories for the charities that Brian Clough sort of championed. And this is an amazing story, but you probably remember, a lot of people will remember the time when the fans ran on the pitch at Forest and Cloughy slapped one of them. Do you remember?
Yes, yeah.
And he got himself a touchline ban.
Yes.
It was one of the results of that. And as the Spider said, he then went into the director's box for the next match at Coventry and had some choice words for all it around the players' wives. So he got banned from director's boxes as well. And the next match was at Middlesbrough, and he just sat in the stand, and he sat next to the Spider, and the Spider recounts the sort of the tone that he had during the match. He said that he started off by apologising, you know, saying he would be a bit loud. And it's quite funny that the stuff that he did. But you imagine sitting next to any manager when he's actually managing the team, let alone Brian Clough when he's managing Forest, and the players didn't know which way to look because he was standing up shouting at his own players.
And a final scoreline, of course, of Middlesbrough 3, Nottingham Forest 4.
Phenomenal game. It was absolutely brilliant game.
Days of Bernie Slavin and Peter Davenport there, with Stuart Ruffley scoring for Middlesbrough, and of course Neil Webb, whatever happened to.
I know.
And Lee Chapman, he had an unfortunate relationship with obviously Leslie Ash, amongst other things.
Won a championship medal at Leeds, didn't he?
It's true, exactly.
Quite a long career. Yes. But Neil Webb's career sort of fizzled out. He went to Man United, didn't he?
I think he did. Didn't quite sort of do the business from that point of view. And of course, Parker. Was that Gary Parker?
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting lines there, but obviously working through that. Now, Brian Clough, clearly the Nottingham Forest connection is very strong with respect to Middlesbrough and so on. I wonder what Middlesbrough would have been like if Brian Clough had ever been in charge, Peter Taylor. Can a bit wonder, can't we, really?
Absolutely. So,
at the same time, obviously, there's Jack Charlton really following us, and John Neal back to the Neely years and that sort of Clough era. But of course, he went to Hartlepool. That's where he started off his campaign, really.
He did, and of course, it was George Hardwick that was his manager at Sunderland when he got his injury, and George Hardwick recommended him for the job. But there's another sort of Neely situation, isn't there? That somebody who failed an interview as manager for Middlesbrough was, in fact, Bill Shankly.
Exactly. And we all know what happened to Liverpool, but never mind. That's a key thing. We wouldn't want to be Liverpool, would
no,
we?
No,
exactly. Okay, the time has arrived. It is the festive moment, and I would encourage people to get hold of a copy of the magazine or even to transcribe this, but maybe it'll appear on the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, the Kadeem Hussein classic. It's The Ghost of Christmas Past, and setting up a new tradition, really, for Fly Me to the Moon podcasts. We have the official Christmas rendition of The Ghost of Christmas Past.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
It was strange. The light faded, only in one corner of Burroughs' dressing room. Boyd, MacDonald, Lita and Emnes dropped the beer cans and stopped stroking their turkey-stuffed, bloated stomachs. Through supernatural medium, the dumbstruck team could make out the strange figure.
"Are you the ghost?" asked the gaffer.
"Yes, I am," said a firm voice.
"Who are you?" demanded the gaffer.
"I'm the ghost of Christmas Past."
"But it's Boxing Day, and an hour before kick-off."
"I come when it is relevant."
"Who's past?"
"Burroughs' past. Thus, the whole team's past."
Out of the mist appeared a large TV-like screen. "Watch," said the voice. They saw the goals scored in their wins on Boxing Day. 3 against Scunthorpe in 2009, 3 against Manchester United 2002, 4 against Everton in 1996.
"Look at your supporters," the voice added gently.
Light shone on Boyd, MacDonald, Lita and Emnes. the misfiring strikers like a spotlight.
It is the season of goodwill to all mankind, but you're above relegation only by goal difference. The figure disappeared. Lights returned to normal. Only phrase repeated until it faded. Remember your fans. Remember your fans. Remember your fans.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon. The podcast.
I think we're rightly run around applause there. We all did very well. Joe, I thought you were massively marvellous. Rob, the gift you have given me with that performance it's just so wonderful. Wonderful. Yes, well, it is the festive edition of Fly Me to the Moon, issue 477. And as we look ahead, because we continue to do that, lots of cracking features. Are there any particular areas from the fanzine over the last year, Rob, that you thought, yeah, that worked well? I mean, because let's face it, the fanzine is premier quality, even if the team haven't been.
Yeah, we could have done with a few more letters over the last year. Mm. That's fluctuated a bit. But when we've had letters, I think that's been... It's good when we
could do with a possibly, you know, following on from the Where's Wally Award, we could have a Where's Andrew Glover Award, you know, spots him around.
Oh dear. He's in this issue.
Is he? He's not miniature Dridge, is he, or Chris Bartley?
He's not.
No, he certainly isn't.
I think he's right at the start, actually.
He's right at the beginning of the whole thing.
Whenever this fanzine finally appears.
It may be one of those very rare fanzines that goes on eBay straight away on Christmas Day from that point of view. Mogamania can see us through, Yes. I mean, it'll work. I mean, obviously, we see what happens. I can see Burton Albion being a draw. We might be having a thing where...
It often happens. We draw away from home and bring them back. Thinking about Nuneaton Borough, things like that.
Wickham Wanderers, of course.
Yeah. But, of course, Burton are no longer non-league, I think.
Very true. But another connection with Brian Clough, of course, or Nigel Clough,
yes,
at least.
Yes, from that's right.
Point
of view,
the Clough family continues onwards from thence. And Leeds, they do seem to be heading northwards, don't they?
Yeah.
Up to the Premiership, at least, from that point of view.
They probably started turning for them when we played them at the Riverside. Hmm. Becchio scored a couple of really good goals. And
Gordon Strachan's lost, of course.
Was it really?
I think that was the last game. Yes. Yeah. After Leeds, that was the moment.
You're right, that was his last chance, wasn't it? But... Leeds have gone storming up the league, and it's interesting because I don't think any Leeds fans when they went up, I think they were just thinking of consolidation.
Mid-table, exactly.
Mm. Good manager though, I think.
Simon Grayson certainly seems to be not only a Leeds fan, but in many ways not quite in the same sort of line as Tony Mowbray from Middlesbrough Football Club. But I think he always there's a passion for the club.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
And they're both sort of they're not mega egomaniacs or anything. That.
Good, solid, professional individuals.
Yes.
Working through the whole thing. Salt of the earth and more on that. Of course, there is a mega Tony Mowbray interview that may well have to wait for a book publication or archive file that you've produced for us.
Before it goes out of date.
Exactly. That's something we can actually look for the whole thing there. And we have to give a little nod of the hat to the last fakers who, sadly... not been able to perform.
They won't be able to fake anymore.
Six-piece band with influences from The Jam, Kasabian, Small Faces, Dr. Feelgood. They were all sorted out from this. Check out their MySpace site. We're still working. I know people have been saying, what happened to the audio clips we were looking to do? Well, great news, actually, because we hear that in the new year, our young connection up at the Riverside, he might be able to develop some links with this, basically, and do some
music. Couldn't it?
It could, yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath, but, you know, I'm just saying it's important. For from that point of view, yeah.
If anybody out there wants to help,
precisely.
To be honest.
Well, as we said, and we still have that offer. If people feel every so often that look, enough's enough. We can only have so many delights of
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
You know, without saying, I can do a better sort of promotion than that. You know exactly. Then do it.
Absolutely.
You know, don't just sit in your bedroom listening to the podcast thinking I could do much better than that. Well, please, you know, we welcome that opportunity.
Absolutely.
To actually sort of get involved.
That's what it's all about.
Precisely. Halfway through the season, almost. Second half subscription costs £21. Will bring you what, Rob?
It will bring you the fanzine through your door before the match.
Yep.
Except and, if it's on a Tuesday.
How do they actually get to
yes,
to
yes,
to,
how do you
how
get
do
it?
They subscribe
absolutely.
To the next part of Fly Me to the Moon?
Probably the easiest way is to go to the website, www.fmttm.com, and look for subscribe and click on that, which I'll probably have to update thinking about it, won't I, to the half season. Or email me on www.robshrug.com. What was my email?
It's too cold, isn't it?
robshrug@googlemail.com.
It's all coming together on that basis, precisely. You've been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, the companion podcast to issue 477, The Knott's Forest Game, which will be played sooner or later. You can play it all back again then and sort of update you on that side of things. We will be back. We're talking about whether to do a Burton Albion special, whatever things. We'll be back very shortly, I would have thought, somewhere over the festive season for all things from that point of view.
Depends how the partying goes.
Well, exactly. So we'll have those the final finish, but a little bit festive tinsel at such, or should we say have a very Borough Merry Christmas.
Oh right.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, right. Yeah. A one, a two, a three. You see, that worked so well. You see, we did the wonderful scenario of the Christmas carol. Can I do this?
We did so well.
Come on, Borough, off the Borough, and have a Borough Merry Christmas.
That's what I was wondering. Yes. The order. Full
I think so, right. The full thing.
Full works. Right,
okay. A one.
Full Christmas works.
A two, a three.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough. Have a very Borough
Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's playoff form at least.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.